Hi, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This evening we're in part 91 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this will be tape 193, program number 193. And if you want a copy of it, you please specify. Sharon will tell you at the end of the program four different ways how to receive a copy of it. Please specify if you want an audio tape or a CD. And remember, it's without charge, and there's no postage or handling. That's all prepaid for you. If you want to give tithes, we really desperately, for the sake of the people in China, Africa, India, because we're giving away free Bibles by the thousands, and it would be extremely beneficial for you. At the judgment or the mercy seat of Christ, if you would tie it to this ministry, because we're really winning souls. And we're really not only winning them, but we're following up with it. We're feeding them the Word of God, watering them and feeding them. We have some letters and a very big treat for you this evening and for us as well, is that Buster is going to give his testimony of how he saw visions of what it would be like to be in hell and what it would be like to be in heaven when heaven shall come down on this earth after it's been refurbished, after it's been burnt up to a crisp. Then God's going to have a new heaven and a new earth, and both of them will meet. Both of them will be together. Heaven will come down here on earth. It'll be paradise, like a tropical island, only without mugginess and varmints and mosquitoes and all that such. And there won't be any one world government. It'll be the Lord's government, which is absolutely 100% righteous. No sin there, and no enemy to annoy us at all. No annoyances. All right, so right now, let's get to the throne of the Lord. And Father, anoint me. Talk through myself and also Buster. Let every word be yours. Lord, that the church will be edified and that precious souls that you died for in the world will be saved. We ask it, I ask it, Father God, that you bind everything that we bind here on earth, that you bind it in heaven. For I ask it in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, where's the first letter from?
From Malawi, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony Lamo, first of all, I would like to greet you in the name of Jesus. Secondly, thank you for sending the Holy Bible, the Messiah book, and the world newsletters. I was very surprised to see that a lot of people here are completely changed after reading your newsletters. So keep on sending me more world newsletters if possible.
Oh, it's very possible. We'll always do that. And all of you people that are out there in the world that are born again of the Spirit, I'd like to distribute these pieces of literature. The Lord doesn't really care what church you're in to distribute. If you're distributing this literature, you're going to be helping us to win souls for the Lord. You'll be part of this big body of the body of Christ. And you will partake in the same benefits, the same rewards in heaven as we do. And it's all free. We'll send you as much literature, Bibles, Messiah books, tapes, whatever it is that you want. It's all free. Why, you could actually open your own church. Because it's almost like, you know, the literature and the Bibles and the tapes and all this is enough instruction to last you for years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just get them into your home, or if you've got a business where you can meet, or if you own a cafe, a restaurant, a cafeteria or something, you've got the perfect spot to open a church. And we'll even furnish you with t-shirts and sweatshirts with the logo of this church on it. Okay, so let's finish, and remember, it's free, and postage is even paid anywhere in the world. Doesn't matter where you're at. Okay, go ahead.
Could you please send me audio and video cassette tapes of the messages by Pastor Lamo for the brothers and sisters in Christ here? They want to hear and see him so much through video cassette. God bless you richly. Yours in Christ, Fred, from Zomba, Malawi, Africa.
Well, you can look at pictures of us all on the website. And the website is what?
AlamoMinistries.com.
Right. Just look us up on the website if you have a computer, right? A PC, personal computer. Then what? Where's the next letter from?
From Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony, my husband and I just gave our lives back to the Lord Jesus. I came across your literature in a hospital parking lot. I told my husband about it. He was in the hospital for chest pain. And he called the prayer line while I read the literature. It was called Sign of the Times. We were invited to come to the church. We went to church. The people there were very friendly and welcoming. They made us feel right at home. We both gave our lives back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We are very happy to be back in the family of God. We would like to have prayer for the situation we are going through. Right now, we are staying with my sister-in-law and her husband, and things are getting worse. We are asking God's guidance in this. Love in our Lord Jesus Christ, Terry from Fort Smith, Arkansas.
All right. You know, when things look bad, the thing to do is start praying immediately. Don't ever let the circumstances that are surrounding you, whether they be as evil as you could possibly think they could be, don't let it get you down. Just the Lord is on the throne, and He's everywhere, and He hears your voice, and if you're calling upon Him and trusting Him, He's already provided salvation, healing, and prosperity. And He says prosperity is something that the Lord wants us to have things. He doesn't want you, but you may be going through, sometimes, you know, we went through some pretty rough times as well. The Lord wants, I know that He wanted to test me, and even the Lord Jesus Christ was tested. The Spirit of God drove Him into the wilderness to be tested 40 days and 40 nights by the devil. And He didn't waver at all. And He was tempted of all the same things that we're tempted of, but He sinned not. And after He's in us, in other words, the Word of God is poured into us by us reading it to the point that we become the incarnation of the Word of God. And of course, we know the Word of God is God. The Word of God is Jesus. The Bible says so. In the book of Revelation, He has a sign on Him with His name, and it says His name is the Word of God. And it says so in the first chapter of John, in the 14th verse, where it's the first verse, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The 14th verse tells us that He became flesh. God became a man and dwelt among us, and He taught us who He was by living among us, and proved that He was God in millions of ways. So many ways, the Bible says that if there were all books written of everything that He did while He was here on earth, that the earth would not be able to contain them all. So there was actually millions of proofs. The greatest, of course, was when He resurrected from death, hell, and the grave, and then He ascended into the kingdom of heaven. So no matter what your circumstances are, you're in a bad situation, be patient, because patience is a virtue, and just continue praising and thanking the Lord, and do what the Lord says to do, and He'll pull you out of there. Once you go through the fire, you'll be like gold, and you'll be happy that you went through it. I went through a lot of different fire in my life, and I wouldn't trade it. At the time that it was happening, I just wanted to be delivered from it so badly. But I did, the Lord got me through it all. And now the Lord is blessing. There may become a time in the future that I'll have to go through more fire, because the Lord will maybe want to use me in a greater way. And if when I go into fire, I just figure God is like refining me and making me more powerful to be able to endure the great tribulations, because people, we're going to be here during the great tribulations unless God takes you out before that. Because the Lord is not coming back to get us until after the tribulations. It says immediately after the great tribulations, he's going to come back and get us. All right, so you people, take good cheer. The Word of God is true. All of His promises are true. Mm-hmm. Now, where's the next letter from?
From Benin, Africa. Dear World
Pastor. How do you spell that?
B-E-N-I-N.
Okay.
Dear World Pastor Lamo, I greet you in the precious and powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. First, I want to address my sincere thanks to you.
That sounds like Benin, not Benin. Benin. Isn't that the way you pronounce it, Buster?
Benin.
Benin, yes. Okay. I don't want people to think that, I didn't go to school. All right, what else? You don't mind. Okay.
First, I want to address my sincere thanks to you for accepting me into the great compassionate team of soul winners of the Lord. Your writings are helping me manage my congregation and win more souls to the Lord. Through your literature, people are bringing their idols and charms to us, and we are burning them according to the Word of God in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 19.
Amen.
Quote, many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver, unquote. I'm sending some photographs of the charms and idols that I have burned. I'm also sending a photograph of a young sorcerer who had been sent from the northern part of the country on a mission against the church, but who was rebuked by the Holy Spirit. There are some pictures of the church in Gorome. In fact, after arriving in Cotonou, Benin, in 2000, I established two churches under the name of Source of the Holy Spirit Gospel Mission. One is situated at Gorome in Benin, and the other at Agla Akplome. I started two other churches at the beginning of this year under the same denomination. The church at Gorome has 300 of the faithful in it. The one at Agla Akplome includes 120. There are 45 in Wedeme and about 60 in Posodome. Dear World Pastor, in your last letter you sent me, you wanted to know the amount of literature that I need for distribution. I presently need 500 newsletters. I am taking this opportunity to ask that you kindly send me 200 French Bibles, if possible, for the new converts in my church, who do not have any and who do not have the means to buy them. Allow me to remind you about the t-shirts and sweatshirts. Please send the amount that is convenient for you. Dear World Pastor, please permit me to share with you some of the crucial needs that we have for my four churches. The churches at Gorome, Agla Akplome, and the one at Wedeme do not have their own property yet. They are actually on rented land. We are praying that the Lord will give you the means so that you might help us in whatever way you are able to for this. We do not have adequate musical instruments to have a better work.
Okay, one of the things that happened when I was first saved, my wife-to-be had a Bible class in her apartment, and I had my apartment, and then I would go down to the street to give my testimony. I wasn't today at all able to teach or preach at that time, but I actually found myself preaching with my testimony, because it was a powerful testimony, very much like the Apostle Paul, where it was just suddenly I was realized that God was there, and I just wanted to do whatever I could. I had no knowledge of the Lord whatsoever, except that He threatens people and that He's a God to be feared. And that's what really propelled me to find out what it was that He wanted me to do. And I could care less about buying property. I mean, I didn't care about working anymore at a regular job. I just wanted to do something for God, because I knew that all my life for 30 years, I was 30 years when years old when this happened to me, I just wanted to know what God wanted me to do. So I started going to bookstores and reading books and going to different churches. And I really didn't care. And then God introduced me to Susie, and Susie and I then he showed us in a vision that we were to be married. And it was, she got the vision first, and then I got the most supernatural vision I ever had in my life. I don't believe that any two people were put together any more miraculously than Sue and myself. It was even Adam and Eve, but it couldn't have been any more supernatural, because he just created a new being in myself and created a new being in Susie, who had been in the ministry for 25 years, and she was sick, and she didn't know it. She was sick with cancer. And God put us together, and I was always very strong, and the Lord wanted her to have somebody that was strong physically and that had a strong desire to do something for God. And so we went to Las Vegas. I mean, he showed us actually being married. But I said, why do we have to go and be married when the Lord married us already? But we hadn't consummated the marriage, and she wouldn't do that at all. So we went to Las Vegas, and we had been married to a person that was absolutely ungodly, both of us. And we hadn't lived with them for long periods of time, because they were adulteresses and adulterers. And so we had to wait for divorces. And then they happened, and then we were able to get married. And I married her because God put such a love in my heart for her. I married her about 4 times. And I always said that it would take a team of Philadelphia attorneys to divorce us if we ever were going to. It was just a joke. I would never have gotten divorced. Only death separated us. But we never had any money at all. I took a job in the motel. Susan said I had to. I owned a Beatles album worth over $100 million because I did the promotion for Pete Best of the Beatles, the original drummer. And I said, come on, let me sell the Beatles album. She says, no, the Lord doesn't want you to sell it. So I got a job at a Z-rated motel called the Calneva. The Calneva Hotel up in Tahoe is a very posh place, very nice. But the one that we were at in Las Vegas was a Z-rated motel. And I was the clerk, the maid. I had to make all the beds in the morning and clean the showers. And well, Susie was too sick. She was just too weak to do anything. She had had tuberculosis when she was a little girl, and the Lord healed her from that. But it left her weak. And so we just did the best we could. Then I did the promotion for a singer named Rovan and made quite a bit of money and bought a home near Malibu up in Zuma Beach, overlooking the ocean. And then Susie kept saying, this is too far out, Tony, we have to go in. And I started losing all the money that I had. I couldn't really even get arrested, even after this fantastic promotions that I'd done in my life for Sonny and Cher, and Best of the Beatles, and they even asked me to do the promotion for the Democratic Party, and I didn't take that. I was just very well known as a top merchandiser. And so we moved into, she found a place where we could store our furniture. It was a shack. And she says, we're going to have to move in there. It didn't even have a floor. And we went in there, and we went through the fire of that. And we went to missions because I had slang that was so bad that people couldn't even understand what I was saying. It was from the show business. Women were chicks. I mean, that's a common name now. And guys were cats. And those are two words that you would probably understand very well. But there was other slang that we used, that I used, that I'm sure you probably wouldn't even know to this day. But we lived in that shack, and finally it was so, she says, Tony, in the ministry, you have to start out small. You don't want to pay a lot of rent because you want to get your money to be in the ministry. So we paid $60-$65 a month there, and I didn't want to move out. Finally, I got to like that little place, you know, and I'd lived at the best hotels and best apartments going, but I I just started liking to live and just feeling the Spirit of the Lord and knowing that that the Lord was working in me and through me. So finally the Lord moved us out, and I wasn't going to move, but I saw this rat in this place swimming in a toilet, and I says, Sue, we're leaving. So she found a place over on Sunshine Terrace over in the valley, and out we went. And that wasn't very expensive either, but it was quite a few notches above where we were. And our first mission, our first church, was a dope den. It was just a house across from the big Presbyterian church over on Carlos Avenue in Hollywood. And it was just a church, and we were paying about $200 a month over there, $150 to $200, I can't even remember. It's been around 41 or 42 years ago. And so that's the way you do in the ministry. You can't be calling on people to buy a piece of land for you and to build a church for you. You need to go through some fire, brothers and sisters. You know, we'll supply you with literature. We'll supply you with the Bibles, the Messiah books. We'll supply you with all the literature you need and Bibles. And we'll even pay the postage on it and everything. But don't try to get me in trouble with the Lord by buying you land and things. I know what it's like to get started in the ministry, brother. And it isn't the way that you want. It's the way that the Lord wants, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord told me to do it. Hey, I'll be the first person to do it. And I know Buster would too, but he's gone through some fire as well. Okay, so let's continue on with the letter. I wanted to get that straight, the first thing that she asked for. Amen. Okay, then what?
Here is a few lines of our needs that we are honored to share with you. May the Lord grant
you... One thing, too, the Lord says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So get everybody in your congregation and go out and make some money. Okay, and then put it into the ministry. Put your money where your mouth is. Amen?
Amen.
If you're saved, well, then you're not going to... we don't know if we're going to live another day. So let loose, okay, and let God. Okay? God knows you're serious if you open up your wallet. Okay,
mm-hmm.
To the point that maybe some moths are flying out of it every time you open it. All right, okay, then what?
May the Lord grant you the means to help us in the name of Jesus
Christ.
Well, I'll
just reverse that. May the Lord bless you with the means. Just be faithful, brother, and get that literature out and win souls and do with what you have. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Dear World Pastor, please receive my best wishes in the Lord Jesus Christ, signed Matthew from Benin, Africa.
Well, praise the Lord, Matthew. I hope you take my advice because I gave you the right stuff.
Amen.
Amen. That's the way it happens. And that's the way it really happens with any great ministers that I've ever known. Or pastors, they had to go through that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now I'm going to introduce Buster to give his testimony. It's just, testimonies really, if you look back on them, are hilarious. I remember when I looked back at the way that the Lord visited me for the first time in the office in Beverly Hills. I laughed about it, but it wasn't funny.
Amen.
It was very frightening. And it put enough fear in me to continue on for these almost 42 years.
Amen.
So I'll just go ahead and give the mic to you, Buster.
All right, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I received a Messiah book from two of the brothers from this ministry.
Well, you had a furniture store, right?
Had a furniture store. I still do.
These people would sell you, they're from my ministry, would sell you different merchandise.
Yes,
that
sir.
You would then put in your store and sell. And they would always kind of witness you or give you literature and stuff.
Yes, sir. And, of course, I wasn't taking any literature. They snuck a Messiah book in my house when I invited them over for coffee. And I had read the Messiah book twice. Not even thinking how supernatural that was, because I hadn't read any book from cover to cover, I don't believe, in my life. But I put the Messiah book in a drawer in a stand next to the sofa, and I didn't think any more about it, so I thought. A couple of weeks later, on June 20th of 2003, the Lord came to visit me in a room in my home in Texarkana. And that day, in broad daylight, it was in the afternoon, I was home by myself, and I was flipping through all the channels on the television, which were many, and for some reason I couldn't find anything that I thought I wanted to watch, so I just turned the television off, which was odd because generally I could find something to watch. So when I turned the TV off, I was looking straight out the window, and in my mind's eye, in picture form in my mind, I started remembering things from the time I was 3 years old to the second I was sitting there on that sofa. I can connect it with, in my day, they had penny arcades, and you could put a penny in this little machine, and you turn the crank, and the faster you turn the handle, the faster the picture would move. And those people, places, things that I thought I had forgot about were moving so fast, and all of a sudden, right to the second I was sitting on the sofa, I thought how weird that I would be thinking about all these people and all these places and all these things that I thought, you know, some of which I thought I had forgot about in my life. Then all of a sudden, out in the middle of that room, we call the sunroom in my home, as a hologram came two planet Earths out in the middle of the air in that room. And in my mind came a voice, using my own voice, but I knew it wasn't me, said, "The planet on your left is full of every good person you've ever known. The planet on your right is full of every rotten person you've ever known in your life. Of these two, which would you choose to live on for an eternity?" And I said, "Well, the one with the good people." Then the voice came back, and the planet on my right turned into a ball of fire. And there was heads sticking out of it, screaming. But the screams were not human screams. I was taken to a slaughterhouse when I was 6 years old, where they slaughter hogs. And the screams of those hogs that I experienced at 6 years old gave me nightmares from the time I was six until I was in my late 20s. When that planet on my right turned into a ball of fire and those heads were sticking out of it screaming, they were screaming the same sounds of those hogs squealing, going to slaughter.
Were they human heads?
They were human heads, but the sounds were as of those hogs squealing. Now, having nightmares from 6 years old to late 20s, the Lord used that so that at 52 years old, he could scare the hell right out of me, because the hair stood up on the back of my neck, the voice came back, and the planet on my left was like a paradise, and he says, "Okay, now, of these two, which would you choose for an eternity?" And I said, "Man, I'm not brain dead. I'll take the one on my left." He says, "You're not going there the way you are." And again, I'm talking to myself in my mind, but I know it's not me. And I said, "What do I have to do to get there?" And he listed four things. He said, "Read my word daily, pray continually, sin no more, and tell others of me when the door is open to do so." I knew it was God. I sat there and says, "You've got a deal."
It's for sure the devil wouldn't tell you that.
Devil wouldn't tell me to read God's word daily.
And to pray.
And to pray and to eliminate sin and to tell others of the Lord when the door is open to do so. So I said,
"You knew for sure that was the Lord."
"Yes, sir." And I said, "Okay, you've got a deal. I didn't even know you were alive." So I sat there. The vision disappeared. And I sat there. I said, "Man, what am I supposed to do now?" And nothing else happened. I looked around. I thought, what now? So that night, I go to bed and slept like a log. The next day, I get up. At that time, I smoked 3 packages of cigarettes a day. And for the next couple of days, I kept taking the pack out of my shirt pocket into the next shirt after I took a shower. And I noticed I wasn't smoking any. And it was as if I had never smoked in my life. I had no withdrawals, didn't want one. It's like I'd never, ever smoked one. So I knew there that God took the cigarettes away. I had high blood pressure. I took 240 milligrams a day of a high blood pressure pill called Calan. I had 6 or 7 pills left that I took. I never refilled it. Months later, I checked my blood pressure at a walk-in clinic, and it was perfect. A year later, checked it again. It was perfect. It's still perfect. So he took the high blood pressure away. I cursed worse than 2 boatloads of sailors, and he just vacuumed my mouth out. I've never uttered a cuss word to my knowledge since that day. So 2 or 3 nights later, I came to one of your ministries, the church here in Falk, and started going to church 7 nights a week. Again, I never liked reading anything, and I started reading the Bible 7 to 8 hours a night, 7 nights a week. I couldn't get enough of it. Still can't. And the Lord supernaturally gave me a hunger for His Word, which, when He told me to read His Word daily, I wasn't going to let Him down. He scared the hell out of me that day when He showed me the vision and gave me the sounds that He gave me. And in reading, I learned how to pray and what to pray for, because He was leading, guiding, and directing everything I was doing. Of course, I'd eliminated sin and knew through reading His Word what He expected of me. And I was witnessing every day. There was always open doors because I prayed for open doors, and He honored that prayer, and He opened doors every day for someone He put in front of me, if not many people, to witness to every day. And that experience led me here. I praise and thank the Lord for being in this ministry, for my salvation, because this ministry was the only one that I've ever even heard of that you could come to 7 nights a week and get fed the Word of God 7 nights a week. And the Lord knew, as hard-headed as I was, that I needed this ministry, and that's why He geographically put me real close to you. And that was almost 3 years ago, June 20th of this year, and I have seen thousands of miracles since my salvation.
I really know that you're born again in the Spirit, because I was praying. I believe without any shadow of a doubt that I prayed you into this ministry, because I didn't have anybody in the home ministry like you. And I was praying, God, you know, that the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. I need somebody that's really got a lot of common sense, and somebody that really loves you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And here, God sends you in, and I've been sending Buster now. I just told everybody in the church, because I could see that he was sold out to the Lord completely. And, you know, we have to be a slave for someone. You're either a slave for the Lord or you're a slave for Satan. Now, the Lord bought us with his blood, and we don't own ourselves. He owns us by virtue of having bought us with his blood. He forgave us of all of our filthy sins by coming into the world and living a sinless life and then dying on the cross and shedding his precious blood so that all of our sins could be taken away. And God drowns them in the sea of his forgetfulness and never remembers them against us again unless we start sinning again. If we go back into a life of sin after we've been cleansed, washed, and filled with his Spirit. And now the Lord has shown me that he's sent somebody in here that will, you can send him anywhere, and he will do exactly what he's supposed to do, and he reports all the time and lets me know what's going on in all the different cities. And now he's about ready. Tell him where, what you're going to be doing now. And where you, he goes to Fort Smith, Arkansas, Texarkana. He's been sent to Los Angeles to straighten out the churches over there.
Yes, sir.
And
New Jersey.
And for a long time, we were looking for facilities out there, and no one was able to get them. And I said, well, the Lord let me know to send Buster out there. And I told the people out there, you people haven't done it, but when I send Buster out there, I know it for sure it'll get done. And now tell them where you're going to be going and everything, Buster. Tell them more about your testimony. I'm sure everybody's enjoying it.
Yes, sir. The next place I'm going is Africa, where the Lord's told you to send me. And I'm going to check on where the money's spent, if it's spent in the, to do exactly as we've sent it to be done. And I was going to make one reference to a lot of my friends, and I think a lot of people may run up against this after they receive salvation and come into the ministry. I had lots of friends in this area that I saw daily. And when I first joined this ministry, they tried everything they could to get me out of here and to keep me from coming here. At one point, a huge table of 25 to 30 of these same people were talking to me about not being in this church, and they had invited me to each one of their churches that they said they attended. At that table, I looked around and I said, wait a minute, guys, I never knew y'all went to church. I've known y'all for almost 20 years, I have never, since I've known you, heard anything about any church activity from any one of you.
And these are prominent people in the community.
So they think. Very prominent, so they think. Yes, sir. These are attorneys, judges, the DAs, a lot of politicians, a lot of business owners in this area. And, in fact, one of them is a Sunday school teacher at a Methodist church. I said, in fact, I've heard y'all say the same filthy jokes that I used to say. I've heard all of y'all use the Lord's name in vain time and time again. So in retrospect, I suggest that y'all quit the churches you're going to and come down where I'm going, because we're taught better than that in this ministry. And we've had several special events here, and many of them have come down to it, and we talked to two again tonight, and we're having another one the 15th, and there's going to be another large group of them come in.
Well, they call them down here singers.
They call them singins. Yeah, they like to come to singins to listen to Tony and the group sing.
Yeah, and then we preach the gospel to them a little bit, and they're prominent people in this community of Texarkana, Texas. And it's a real growing community, isn't it?
It's growing like wildfire right now. It is. It's right on the intersection of I-30 and what's coming to be I-49.
Right. And these, like Buster said, these are attorneys. He brought one of them over this evening. He wanted to come over and talk to me. And one of them is a big restaurant owner, very prominent people. And these people are associated. They go to different dinners and
fundraisers
and mm-hmm. things like that. And Buster's always been one of them. They used to all run together, right?
Yes, sir. In fact, my wife and I were co-hosts of the Democratic Party on several fundraisers.
And these people are getting saved.
Yes, sir.
I just love it when you tell about some of these. You could take up this whole hour. I just love to sit back and listen to it. And believe me, it really is a tremendous testimony. I'm going to keep talking.
Oh, that's right. In the summer of 2003, like I said, every day they were joking, and I was the butt end of every joke. So one of these attorney friends of mine was standing out in front of a cafe we just ate at, and he says, "Buster, said you guys down there at that ministry believe in miracles, don't you?" I said, "Yes, we do." He said, "Well, show me one." So I pointed across the street at a big oak tree on the corner, and he looked at it, and he said, "Oh, that's just a tree." I said, "Well, let me see you make one." So he just blew it off. 8 months later, a straight-line wind came through this area. Now, this particular attorney owned a cabin out at Little River Country Club, and he owned another ranch home on the other side of Texarkana, but he was in Dallas at that time representing a client, and he got a phone call, so you better go check your cabin at Little River Country Club because there's a tree through the back of it. He says, okay, so he comes in, he goes there first, and sure enough, there's a tree that had fallen through the back of this cabin. 150 to 200 cabins in that area, and his was the only one that had a tree through the back of it. So he drives over to his ranch house that he had just acquired on the other side of town, and it had a long drive, and as he turned in to go to it, he noticed that there was a huge tree that fell through the front of this ranch house. So he called a friend of his, they got some chainsaws, and they were cutting this tree out. And he was sitting on the front porch drinking a beer with this friend of his, and he told him about the story of making fun of me coming to this ministry and asking if we believed in miracles and me pointing that tree out to him. So the other guy said, "Well, what do you think?" He said, "I'm not so sure old Buster ain't onto something." Said, "I think I'll just keep my mouth shut." So a year or so later, he had a four-wheeler accident where it flipped upside down, pinning him in 4 foot of water in a creek, and he couldn't get it off of him, and he was drowning.
Yeah, he really felt that was it.
Yes. He said again tonight that was the Lord that lifted that four-wheeler off of him.
Yeah, he said there's no possible way that four-wheeler could have ever been lifted up. He says it's just miraculously lifted up, and he got out of there.
Amen. And when he got to the surface of the water, he looked around, and there was nobody there. And it took three guys and a winch to get that four-wheeler out of that creek bottom. So he knew that it was the Lord that lifted that off of him.
He said he saw a light or something. What was that?
He said he saw a blue light, and he felt a peace come over him at that instant, knowing he was drowning, but he saw this blue light. And when he felt the peace come over him and the blue light he saw, then the weight of the four-wheeler lifted up off of him. And that's when he got to the surface of the water. And he has been to every, as they call, singing that we've had here. He'll be to this next one. He loves this ministry, loves coming down, talking to you, and he promotes this ministry.
That's because of you, Buster, because, you know, I didn't know him from Adam.
Amen.
And I didn't know any of these judges or district attorneys or anything out here. And they're all talking about the ministry, and they're all talking about the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And they ask you, one of those dinners that you went to, you asked them, how many of you people, somebody asked you about the Ten Commandments.
They're always trying to, in their way, they think they're going to trap somebody that's serving the Lord. And they've done so many different things, one of which was when the owner of the mall said something about the Ten Commandments, and the restaurant owner said, well, Buster, I'm sure, can list them because he's a member of the Tony Alamo ministry. He's making fun of it. And the guy that owned the mall said, no, it's okay. He don't have to do that, thinking I couldn't do it anyway.
This man owns malls all over the country.
Yes, has malls in many, many states.
Yeah, the Central Malls.
Central Malls, yes, sir.
In Fort Smith and out here and all over the country.
Right. So I told him, I said, well, if you want me to list them, I'll do it for you. And he says, can you? And I said, sure. You want them mixed up or in order they come in the Bible?
And there were other actual ministers or Christians there.
Yes, there was Baptist preachers and deacons. They were working on a land deal with this gentleman. And they couldn't list all the commandments. They got them in pieces, but they couldn't get them in order of any kind. So I listed them in order. And I told him, I said, well, the first one is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and thou shalt not covet. So the restaurant owner says, well, now he could have said anything. How do we know that's in the Bible? I said, Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 17. Look it up for yourself. And so the Maulers, has any other bright questions? So the Lord definitely had his way with them at that luncheon there, as he has in every time they've tried to corner what they thought they were going to corner me. It wasn't me they were trying to corner. They couldn't defeat the Lord in me. Every time they would say something that would, in their minds, think they were going to get me, the Lord gave them something back that just shut them down. And it happened time and time. Like I say, I've seen thousands of miracles in less than 3 years. And lots of them were at either fundraisers or luncheons with all these different guys that are prominent citizens of this area.
And a lot of them are coming to our sings now.
Yes, we've had judges, we've had attorneys, we've had restaurant owners, CPA firm owners,
mayors,
city council people. We've had huge car lot owners of this area come to our singings. We've had people that even own bars and taverns that came into our singings every time. And a lot of the people of Spanish descent that couldn't understand real good English, they still came to our singings and enjoy every one of them.
Yeah, you lived in this area quite a few years, haven't you? You're very familiar with almost all the key people in town.
Yes, sir.
Wouldn't you say? See, this is something that I could not have done in this area because I'm not from this area. And it's just that that's why every person's testimony is extremely important, because this whole church is multiplied like you wouldn't believe. Well, you know, if you came here, you'd believe.
Amen.
But, and it's with these prominent people, you know, and they're getting saved. Like this evening, this attorney, who I believe is probably the most prominent attorney in the whole area.
Yes, sir.
He's got some of the biggest cases. And some of them have his fees around, he said around $30
million. Around $30 million, yes, sir.
Yeah. And so he's very prominent, and as far as, you know, the world sees it.
Amen.
And he's saying, you know, Tony, I'm with you because you preach the word. And Buster preaches the word. And, I mean, this has been a great testimony to us and all the people in this whole area. I saw a judge came over to my house the other day, and it's election time, and he wanted to know if we were going to vote for him. And we're going to, you know, we know who to vote for, because it's for people that are of the Lord, you know. And there's enough people in the world that are not of the Lord, and we don't want to put any of them in office.
Amen.
I'm not really into politics that much at all, but for sure, people that I see growing closer and closer to the Lord, we're going to help them out, you know, as best as we can.
Amen.
And so we're voting for him. He said, "You people preach the word." And I'm with you. He said, you know, if there's anything that you ever need, you know, just let me know. He said, because, and he says, I believe now because of, you know, what happened to Buster and how on fire he is for the Lord. And from that accident that he had.
Yes.
He says, he told me about it. He says, yeah, I saw this blue light. And he said, I felt a peace, a calm come over me like I'd never felt before in my life. So what else, Buster?
The Lord has turned almost every one of these guys around, from the most hardcore of the group that would come against me being in this ministry or come against the ministry itself. He has turned all of these people around. I have a luncheon tomorrow at noon with one of the biggest connections with judges in this area on the Texas side of Texarkana, and he will talk with me on a luncheon that we normally would have for 1 hour. We'll sit there 2 to 2.5 hours, and he's the one that is a Sunday school teacher in a Methodist church, and he'll sit there and talk Bible with me and ask me questions and tells me that he has learned things that he didn't know from me, and he's been in that Methodist church for 30-some years.
You've only been saved for how long?
Less
than 3 years. So people learn the Bible over here.
Amen. Amen.
But, you know, they don't learn it if they're just sitting in here. Buster, as he said, studied the Bible 7 and 8 hours a day. And
yes,
talked about it about the same amount of time.
All day long.
All day long. I mean, he really is a fervent servant of the Lord. And I just told him, you know, that I can safely rely on that wherever Buster goes, wherever the Lord wants me to send him, there's going to be many miraculous things happen over there. When he went to New Jersey, they were looking for a place, and Buster found it within a day. They just prayed when they got there, and the Lord opened up a supernatural door.
Yes, sir.
And saved thousands of dollars.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's just unbelievable that people will surrender their entire lives over to the Lord, the miraculous way that God will use them. I'm sure Buster could talk about this sort of thing for, you know, for 1,000 hours.
Amen.
Got anything else, Buster?
You can shut me off anytime you want to. I could keep talking.
Keep going.
Well, I never had been in the northeastern United States, and me and another brother, Tommy Scarcello, were praying at airport terminals. We were praying on the airplane, Lord, we got 2 days to do this. Lord, you know we can't do it. It's got to be you. Lord, we turn it over to you. Help us, open up doors for us to receive what we need to do in this short period of time in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We got there, and there was a real estate man that was a Israeli, a Jew, and he got us by mistake. A secretary actually was supposed to give this particular note to a different real estate man, and this, the one that helped us, got it by mistake. And he diligently got in there, and we looked at 4 or 5 different places in less than a day, and the Lord had us hone in on the one that we now have, and it saved incredible sums of money, distance that we were driving back and forth.
I think around it saved $20,000 a month.
$20,000 a month it saved compared to what we would have spent in any other circumstance, and it, God alone did it, because he directed us straight to it.
Yeah, the other people in town had been looking for this particular facility, type of facility like this, for 2 to 3 years, and they said, we just can't find it. Buster goes in there within 2 days, and we have it.
Yes, sir. In fact, we said we would take that particular facility.
The Lord is with you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Okay, then.
Less than a day. It was less than a day. We looked at 4 or 5 places and honed in on that one in less than 1 day. There is no way a human being could do that.
No, I mean, it's for sure. here's the one day in comparison to three, maybe three, 4 years. And this was much better than anything that we were even dreaming of.
Oh, yeah, it's a perfect facility in a grand location.
Praise the Lord. Okay, well, thanks a lot, Buster.
Yes, sir.
You'll come back again, I'm sure, right?
Anytime you ask me to, yes, sir.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Sharon, have you got, we'll do a few, a little bit here on how to have God's life living in you.
Okay.
From a message that I've had them type up a few days ago. Go ahead.
If we see a love such as this love the Lord had for us, and we gave him anything other than our consecration, it would be like filthy rags.
Right. In other words, the Lord gave his life, and he took this horrible beating. It was the most unmerciful beating. He was beaten to the point to where you couldn't even recognize him as a human being. And he did that for our healing. And for people to not believe that, when his word, which is God, says that, then don't complain about not being healed. Because the Lord said, by this horrible beating I took, by this the nailed scars, pierced hands and feet, and the pierced in the side, and the crown of thorns, and the beating, and my beard ripped out, and everything just torn to ribbons on me, you're healed because of that. And you are so evil as to not believe what I said, that I went through that entire beating and that pain or nothing. Well, then don't complain about not being healed, because by this beating I took, you were healed. Now, it's just like if I set a glass of Kool-Aid in front of you, or a glass of iced tea or ice water, and you're dying of thirst. You say, please give me water, and I'm setting it right in front of you, and you don't drink it. That's on you. Now, the Lord has set salvation in front of you. He set healing in front of you, and he paid for the salvation. He paid for your healing, and he paid. He said, if you do what I tell you to do, all these blessings will come upon you, and if you don't, all these cursings will come upon you. So if you're in a situation where you're being cursed, people should take an inventory of what they're doing. Are you totally committed unto the Lord? Are you totally sold out? If not, well then, repent and surrender your entire life over to the Lord as he surrendered his entire life for you. And you'll be saved, and you'll be healed, and you'll be prosperous. Buster, I mean, since you've been flying here and there, has your business suffered at all?
No, sir, it's gained. The business has actually done better. The Lord told me to go out and do the work that he had for me, and that he would take care of that store, and he certainly has done that. The store has done better since I haven't even been there hardly at all.
Right. And so the Lord kept his word. His promise is that if you just do my work, I'll prosper you.
Amen. His word is true.
And it's hardly any effort on your part at all. Less effort than it ever was before. Amen.
Tremendously less effort.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. Anything more you want to say?
Ever since I have been saved, and 8 months after I was in the ministry, when I was reading and the Lord branded in my brain Hebrews 13:17, which says, obey those that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for those that are over you, look after your souls as those that must give account, and make it a joy for them to be over you. If you don't, it will be unprofitable for you. At that time, I knew that was the Lord's total confirmation. I was where I was supposed to be, under the pastor I was supposed to be under, to unequivocally take directions from you. And since that time, and going all these different places that the Lord has told you to send me, the business has continually increased.
All the time. And you have never regretted that at all. I mean, you just keep growing in the Lord all the time, and the Lord just keeps sending you different places. It's like you have a ministry. It's like a worldwide. You're going all over the world now. I stated after you go to Africa, Buster, if you want to. There's people in India that we want to find out if they're really of the Lord or not. And then if you want to go there, you could go there too. And if you'd like to go to the Philippines, that'd be great. And then I said, oh, I remember in China they want all these Bibles. And so if you'd like to go there, praise the Lord.
Amen.
He says, whatever. And see, we're not the authorities. We're the authorities, the ministers of the gospel. The secular authorities are not the authorities of God. They are not. You voted them into office. God never put them there. And so the Bible states that we are the authorities, so, but not to like with people like Busher, that he just wants to know what to do, and if the Lord tells me, I tell him. And that's what the being over a person is. The authorities, we tell you, and then if you do what the Lord says, you're going to be saved. I see my time is over right now, Busher. I just keep calling him back.
Amen.
Okay, yeah. Now, those of you that would like to have the blessings that every person has that is obedient to the word of the Lord, just say this prayer, and you'll be saved, and you'll have prosperity, you'll have salvation first, you'll have healing, and you'll have prosperity, and millions of other blessings that the Lord gives. So just say this prayer to God, and let him really know that you mean business with him, just like Buster. And, for instance, maybe myself also.
Amen.
Okay, so just say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised himself from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus, with your Father by the Spirit. Wash all the filthy sins away that I've committed before with your precious blood. I know, Lord, that when I call upon you, that you're hearing me and you're answering me, and you will not turn me away, because you said all that call upon your name, that you will save. So I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, Sharon here will tell you four different ways that you can receive either an audio tape or the CD, postage, paid, and handling. Everything is free. Go ahead.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
How do you have God's life living in you? All you do is ask him to come in and he will. All right, so and tomorrow it'll be part 92 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.